صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وخير الخلق أجمعين بالقاسم محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، صلوات. Peace be upon you, Abba Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O the son of Rasulullah. Free from despair are those who hold on to you, and safe are those who run to you, Sayyidi wa Mawlai. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum sadati, fanafuzu wallahi fawzan azeema. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشرف الصلاة على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، صلوات. Today we're starting our final part of our lectures, and this is the part where we're looking at why did Imam Hussein عليه السلام الله migrate from Medina to Mecca, and then from Mecca towards Kufa, and from Kufa towards Karbala. Now obviously Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah didn't get to reach Kufa, but the intention was there. So we want to examine this and see why did he migrate. Because some people would like to think that Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was going towards a war. Whereas on the other hand, the truth shows that Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was being forced out from one city to another city to another city until finally he reached Karbala. So to begin with, we want to look at where was Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah residing. He was in Medina, and what was happening in Medina? Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah was free to teach. His house was constantly filled with people who came with questions about their dunya and the akhirah. So Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salamullah was free to teach the people. Now he was content in this matter of teaching the people. However, when Yazid took the seat of Khilafah, Yazid sent forward his henchmen to Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, saying what? Either you get me his allegiance or you kill him. One way or the other. So now Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah is being put in a situation where he is not free to sit down. He either has to give allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah or he has to be killed. Right, now Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, someone might ask, why wouldn't he give allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah? First of all, over the last few nights we looked at what society means, how society affects us. Then we looked at, if only briefly, at the society which was surrounding the Muslim Ummah after the demise, after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we saw how slowly these tenets of Islam, the fundamentals, were being eradicated. Surely but slowly. Now, in the time of the first three and in the time of Muawiyah, there was some respect for Islam. There was some respect for the hurmah of Islam. Even if some things were neglected, not everything was put to aside. Walakin when Yazid ibn Muawiyah came to power, he put everything to one side. He would drink publicly. He would make fun of the verses of the Quran publicly. He would mock Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam publicly. He was surrounded by women. He would do all the things which were not allowed in Islam, and he would do them publicly. Now if an individual, remember in the beginning we said in Islam you have your individual rights and you have your social commitments. As an individual, if Yazid ibn Muawiyah did these things as a normal person, then there's no issue there. The issue is between him and his Lord, between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can tell him, oh Yazid, you are wrong in what you're doing. Repent, fix up. However, when he has taken the position as the leader of the Muslim world, then there is a big problem. Why? Because he is, as we said yesterday, these Christians, these Jews, these Buddhists, these Hindus who have never read the Quran, they see us as the face value of Islam. So here, imagine they see the main leader of Islam. These people who don't know Islam, they would come to take Islam from the Khalifa of the Muslimin, somebody who is drunk 24/7. Someone who is constantly, they say in the history books, not from our school of thought, from the Ahlul Sunnah, they say that Yazid enjoyed three animals fighting. Now, I'm not talking about, someone might turn around and say, well, so what if he enjoyed animals fighting? Again, as an individual, that's not an issue. As the leader of Islam, Islam is against cruelty to anything, even to the animal. Why? Because in the Quran, as we mentioned yesterday, when Sulaiman alayhi salam Allah and his army is marching, what does the queen ant say to her people? Sorry, I mentioned this in a different majlis. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in this one. What does the ant, there's an ant, what does she say? She's the queen. She says, oh ants, go back into your holes. Why? Because Sulaiman may trample over you without knowing. Sulaiman and his army might trample over you without knowing. So here, Sulaiman stops and he tells his people to be careful of the ants. Here there's a sign that Sulaiman was the leader at the time of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which meant what? That as the leader, you have to respect everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Now when Yazid is enjoying two bears fighting, or two monkeys fighting, or any animals fighting, then what does that show of someone who's supposed to be the leader of Islam? It means he has neglected his position, his authority as a Muslim. That's if he could be considered as a Muslim in the first place. So now, when we look at him, and then we look at Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. When Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah says, someone like me will never shake hands with someone like him. What does he mean here? Is he being arrogant? No. Let me mention to you a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. One day he was standing. And then he went into a sajda. Then he stood up. Then he went into a sajda. Then he stood up. Then he went into a sajda. He repeated this movement 5 times. Now the companions turned around. They said, Ya Rasulullah, first of all, it's not even the time of prayer. Second of all, you went into sajda before reciting anything and there was no ruku'. Now we know, before you actually prostrate yourself, you have to bow down if it's salah. So they said, why did you go into sajda 5 times, Ya Rasulullah? So he said, first of all, Jibra'il came and he said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah loves you. So I prostrated myself to say, thank you, Ya Allah. Then I stood up. Then Jibra'il said, oh Muhammad, know that Allah loves Ali. So I prostrated myself. Then I stood up. Then he says, know that Allah loves Fatima. So I prostrated myself. Then I stood up. Then he said, know that Allah loves Hassan. So I prostrated myself. Then I stood up. Then he said, Allah loves Hussein. So I prostrated myself. Then I stood up. Then he said, Allah loves whoever loves them. So then he continues to say, now here's the point I want to get to so I don't lose you. The point here, when Rasulullah was asked about Hassan and Hussein directly after this situation, what did he say? He said, know that they are the best of people after me and that their father Ali is better than them. Then he continues to say that from the bloodline of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah will come 9 imams. The last of them is the Mahdi. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Then he says, one of the signs of the Mahdi is that Isa ibn Maryam, one of the greatest prophets that came, one of the signs that of the Mahdi, the people said, how would we know this Imam? He said that Isa ibn Maryam will be praying behind him. Now the question here is what? When Rasulullah mentions that Isa ibn Maryam prays behind Imam Mahdi, ajallallahu ta'ala faraja al-sharif. Number one, he has showed us the position of Imam Mahdi. However, when he mentions this with relation to Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, here it's a karama not only for Imam Mahdi, but for Imam Hussein. Let me explain to you how. When I say to you, Isa ibn Maryam will pray behind Imam Mahdi, I show you that the Imam holds a far superior position to any prophet with the exception of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, when you say to me, tell me something about Imam Hussein, and I say to you that from the lineage of Imam Hussein will come a man who prophets will pray behind him, that means how great is Imam Hussein if someone 9 generations from his bloodline is worthy enough to have a prophet pray behind him. Sallu ala Muhammad wa alayhi. So if the 9th grandson of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah has a prophet praying behind him, this means what? This means that the Imam is the leader of the prophets. This means Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah is also the leader of the prophets, with the exception of his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the exception of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, with the exception of Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah, with the exception of Fatima Zahra. Again, we are not comparing. However, these are blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. When we see somebody who is leading from Adam until the last generation to come, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam Allah is leading humanity. Now, I am not exaggerating, because what do we have in our hadith? Adam wept for Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. And until Qiyamah, what do we have? We have hadith from our imams that say what? Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, the throne of Allah wept for him. The throne of Allah is eternal. Meaning what? Meaning eternally the azah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah will continue. Meaning what? Imam Hussein was leading us from Adam until the very final day. So someone who is leading this huge, vast creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from not only the humans, but also from the jinns, but also from the angels. What does that mean to us? That means someone like him, if he shook hands with someone like Yazid, what does it mean? That means Imam Hussein agreed with everything Yazid did from the very first day of creation until the very last day, which is what? Meaning, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say sharab is haram? Why would alcohol be haram if Imam Hussein shook hands with a person who drank? So when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah says, I will not shake hands with Yazid, it means what? It means my position and his position are two things which are totally different. Meaning I represent everything which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he represents everything which is shaitan. So number one, Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when he refuses, it means he's left with an alternative, which is what? Which means the alternative is that he will die. Which means he will be assassinated. Now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was in Medina. If he was killed in Medina, word would not have reached anyone. Why? Because it would be pointless for Yazid to send his army to Medina, then kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, then take his family from Medina and take them all the way to Sham. Even if he did do that, is there any need for it? No. Why? Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah in Medina, if we look at Abu Bakr, Umar and Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, all three of them were assassinated. Sorry, with the exclusion of Abu Bakr. Umar and Imam Ali were both assassinated. Their assassination was a very simple one. Why? Because in the place they were living, there was no such thing as bodyguards. There were no palaces. These things came afterwards. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah stood by the sunnah of Rasulullah and Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he will not live in a palace. So meaning, if he wanted to assassinate him, it would have been a simple movement. Send 2 people and that's it. It's the end of the story. It could have been the way Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah was assassinated. Put poison for him and it's finished. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when he knew that the final ultimatum meant that it will be at the cost of his life, he wanted his life to be given in such a way that it causes an explosion, something which will shake the foundations of every zalim that will come. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah migrates. He migrates where? To Mecca. Now why did he go to Mecca? Because when he went to Mecca, everybody was coming towards Hajj. Meaning numerous amount of people who came to see Rasulullah and saw him carrying Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah as a child, saying Husseinun minni wa ana min Hussein, have now returned to Mecca to see this very same Hussein in the time of Hajj. Instead of coming towards the Kaaba, he's leaving it. Surely this will raise questions. Why is the son of Rasulullah leaving? One of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, When he comes, he sees what? He sees Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah leaving. What does he say to him? He says, "Fi aman Allah ya shammamat al-haj wa muhjita. Titrak al-Ka'ba. Wint al-Maqam. O Ka'bata." He says, "Farewell be to you." After the conversation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, he says, "Farewell be to you. Oh, the smell of Rasulullah and his very existence. You leave the maqam when you are the hajj, you are the ihram, and you are the Kaaba. How can you leave? You are hajj. So how can you leave?" So Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah begins to explain to him. Then numerous people come and ask Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. Then he tells them, "I am leaving." Why? Because I am mazloom. I am being chased wherever I go. So much so that Yazid did not even honor the sanctuary of the Kaaba. Imam Ridha alayhi salamullah says to one of his companions, he says, "Oh, so and so, know that..." This is when the month of Muharram came. He says, "Know that the Arabs before Islam, in their days of ignorance, even if they were having a battle, when the first sight of Muharram is, when the moon of Muharram is sighted, they stop their wars." Why? Because they respected the haram month of Allah, the month which Allah has made fighting forbidden. He said, "Walakin those who professed Islam had no mercy towards the son of Rasulullah, for they killed him, beheaded him, trampled over his body, took his sister and his daughters, and the women of Rasulullah as hostages, and paraded them from a market to market." Meaning what? Yazid never respected anything. Neither the month of Muharram, nor the month of Hajj, not even the Kaaba. Why? Because he sent people wearing the ihram with blades underneath, saying to them, "Even if Hussein was doing the tawaf, you will stab him until he falls down shaheed." Obviously he didn't mention shaheed, but we say shaheed. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah now is what? He's forced to even leave the Kaaba. Let's go back to his very first movement from Medina. Why did he leave Medina? Because Yazid, in the time of Muawiyah, at least Muawiyah allowed the people to practice some things in Islam. However, Yazid took a total different route. Yazid's oppression was on a far greater scale. Yazid began to give total freedom to those people who were in control, the governors. So much so that the people of Kufa began to turn to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Hundreds of thousands, history records, hundreds of thousands of letters were sent to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, saying to him what? "Mawlana, ajjil, ajjil, hurry, hasten towards us." Why? "We are in need of he who will guide us in our religion, because Yazid has put people over us who are oppressing us. Hurry towards us and you will find us your army who is here waiting for you." This is the same thing that we say today to Imam Mahdi, and inshallah we won't be like the people who abandoned Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Inshallah when we call our Mawla Jalallahu Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif, we will be worthy of that call. And we will be worthy to be amongst his ranks. Inshallah. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah didn't go out searching for anything. No, he went out because as an Imam, remember what we said about Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. What does he say? Allah has taken a covenant between him and the leaders of his ummah. The Imams, there is a covenant between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah offered them imamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had took a covenant with them that they should abide by certain things, and one of those things is when there is oppression, they stand against it, and when the people call them, they answer them. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, as we said on the third night, is that he sent Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam Allah. And since we've already mentioned the story of Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam Allah, there's no need to go into it into detail. However, let us suffice for tonight to say that when Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam Allah saw what was happening in Kufa, that the people were at least by face value, realistically, we're calling Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, again, by face value. We don't judge people by what we think. We judge them by what we see. We see someone going into a mosque and he's praying, we don't say, "Well, oh, how do I know deep down in his heart he's being sincere to Allah?" That's not for me to decide. That's between him and his Rabb. For me, I take it at face value. And this is what Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam Allah did. He took it at face value that these people came and swore allegiance for 3 nights they were gathering around Muslim ibn Aqil. So much so that there were 40,000 people. So he said, "Hasten towards them." Now one of the people, one of the Salihin who met Imam Hussain alayhi salam, what does he say? When he was going to Kufa, he says, don't go, they betrayed your father, they betrayed your brother, as if Imam Hussain alayhi salam doesn't know who he betrayed his father and brother. He says, they betrayed them. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, nevertheless, I have a duty towards them. What is my point of being an imam? I'm not here in it for the values of riches, I'm not here to be a king. When he leaves, he writes to his brother Hanib, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya radhwanullah alayhi. What does he say to him? He says, wallah, I did not leave as a tyrant, nor have I left to oppress anyone, nor have I left in search of a kingdom or power or a seat. I only left for one thing and one thing only, and that is to make right which was made wrong in the sunnah of my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here Sayyidina wa Mawlana, Sayyidu Shuhada Aba Abdullah al-Husayn Ruhi lahu al-Fida. What does he say? He says, I am going to make something correct when it was made wrong. He didn't say, I am introducing a new religion. No, it's the same religion, different standards. And when we say different standards, they're not different to Rasulullah, they're different to the standards which were introduced after Rasulullah. It's a reform. We looked at Rasulullah, how when he came, he was making reforms. Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is now making reforms in the same religion. Now let me make clear to some of the brothers why the mission of Imam Hussain alayhi salam Allah required such a great sacrifice. I just want to pause here for one moment and then we'll go back to the main topic. The reason why his sacrifice was so great is, imagine I introduced something to you once and then people change it. And it becomes an ugly thing. Now for me to come and change your mind about the very same thing is difficult. Why? Because you've already seen one value of it. For example, a company which is advertising a product. Imagine that product was a failure. I need to change the image of this product. Now that's a difficult thing to do. However, if I introduce the new product, you're most likely you're going to go buy the new product. Why? Because it's something that hasn't been tested. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he was introducing in some way a new product. Why? Because they were worshipping idols. He introduced the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after Rasulullah, this concept was changed and it became an ugly concept. Now Imam Hussein has the mission of telling the whole world, listen, you've taken the wrong concept. Let me give you the truth of it. He's got the mission of reforming this very image, of changing the representation of Islam. And that is something very difficult. Evidence to that is today. How many people see Islam as a religion of terrorism? You try to tell them Islam is a religion of peace. You say, get out of my face, man. With all the bombings that's going on, you want to tell me Islam is a religion of peace? Go away, man. What Islam are you talking about? It's a very difficult thing to change the mind of the people once it's been set. So Imam Hussein's mission was such a great one and such a difficult one that it was necessary for him to make a sacrifice so great. Now, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, when he left, what was said to him? Coming back to our main point about the people of Kufa, some people say, well, what if Imam Hussain alayhi salam knew that the people of Kufa are not to be trusted, why did he go? Because someone already said to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, their hearts are with you, but their swords are against you. That means they love you, they love Ahlul Bayt. But when it comes to fighting, they won't fight with you. Rather, they would fight against you because they are fearing who? The oppression. Not only the oppression, some of them will go for the money. The very same people who called Imam Hussain alayhi salamullah to Kufa, when he was shaheed in Karbala, they were stealing his clothes. What kind of lanati people, what kind of cursed people were they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarja'un. That's truly them. They will never return. That's it. That's the end of them. One man was at the Kaaba. They say he chained himself at the Kaaba and he was holding on to the door. And he was crying out, oh Allah, I know you will never forgive me. But Allah, please, try to forgive me. So one man was doing tawaf and he looked at him and he said, what? He said to him, oh man, what is it that you've done that Allah will never forgive you for? Where you're standing at the Kaaba where every dua is accepted, what have you done? What sin could you have possibly committed that Allah will never forgive you for? He says to him, I know I will never be forgiven. He says, stop with your ignorance. Allah will surely forgive you. He said, he won't. He said, why? What is the sin that he won't forgive you for? He said, I was one of the people in Karbala. And when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was shaheed, we stole his clothes. Then he had some ragged torn clothes underneath, which we knew he wanted to protect himself with, so that his body would not be left naked. I tried to take the shorts of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah off. When I held them, his hand, even though his head was decapitated, his hand grabbed my hand as if to stop me. So I ran away crying. Now I come to here asking Allah to forgive me. You know what the man said? He said, "Oh Allah, by the haqq of Hussein and his mother, never forgive this man." Because he tried to take the hurma of Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. These were some of the very people that called Imam Hussein. You think Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah didn't know that these were the people who would betray him? No, he knew. But what was his response? Is that as an imam, again, it is my duty to save those who are oppressed. So Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, now we've seen the atmosphere in Medina where he was not left alone. Why? Because they were sending people to assassinate him. Then after he left Medina, he went to Mecca. Again, they were not leaving him alone. At the very haram of the Kaaba, they were threatening to kill him. So Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, number one, to save his life, not for himself, but to save his life so that he does not die in vain, so that his death may carry some weight towards saving mankind from eternal destruction. Number one. Number two, he migrated. Why? Because migration in Islam is compulsory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And when the angels take the life of those who were oppressed in the dunya, they will say to them, "And in what state were you?" So the people say, "We were oppressed." Basically, the angels say to them, "Why did you carry on with your sins? Why didn't you do what Islam commanded you to do?" They say, "We was oppressed. We wasn't free to worship Allah." So what's the response? Was Allah's land not vast enough? Meaning what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that migration is incumbent on you when it means saving yourself and your religion. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, as an imam, knows what is incumbent on him, and migration is one of those things. Rasulullah, migration was incumbent on him. So he also migrated, which means what? The migration of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was not something new. Rather, he was following the sunnah of his grandfather and his father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad. That's point number two. Point number three is that as an imam, again and again and again, we mention that it is his duty towards those people who Allah has put him in charge over them to answer them when they need him. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every one of you is a shepherd, and every shepherd is in charge of his herd. The father is the shepherd of his family, and his herd is his wife and his sons and his daughters. The mother is also the shepherd. Her herd is her husband and her children. The imam of the mosque, or the imam in a community, is a shepherd, and his responsibility is the people which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed under him. That's his herd. So everyone is a shepherd and everyone has a herd, and everyone will be asked about his herd on the Day of Judgment. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, from this door, from this opinion, had to go towards Kufa. When he went to Kufa, so many people were joining and leaving him. Why? Some were joining because they were thinking, Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, we know that there's a very great chance of him being successful. If he fights Yazid, we know he will win. Why would he win? Because almost everybody knows that he's the son of Rasulullah, with the exception of the people of Sham. When everybody knows he's the son of Rasulullah, surely he will get their support. Meaning what? He's going to have a massive army. He will annihilate the army of Yazid. When we win, then we're going to find a position of favor with him. We're going to say, "Oh ya Aba Abdullah, we helped you out, so now give us something in return." So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah said, if you're coming for riches, then you won't find it. If you're coming for seats, you will not find them. Meaning seats of power. Excuse me. If you are coming to die fi sabilillah, then surely that is what you will find. For I swear by Allah, it is as if I see my body on the plains of Karbala, cut to pieces with the horses trampling over me. My head on the spear being paraded from town to town. Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah is telling them, this is the final ultimatum. Is this what you want? Ahlan wa sahlan, come with me. If it's something else that you want, then alaykum as-salam. You go your way and I go my way. So these people began to abandon Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. When they abandoned him, who did they go to? They went to the side which was offering them what they wanted. Then there were the few who stayed with him. The few who said to him, if this world was eternal, we will still give it up for you. The few who said to him, if you cut us to 1,000 pieces, we will still stay with you. The few who said to him, if our whole family abandoned us and everything, we will still die for you. Why? Not only because you are our Imam, but you are the last son of Fatima al-Zahra. After you, there is no son of Fatima al-Zahra. So Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, now we see the people joining and leaving him. As he makes his way to Kufa, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad sends an army of 1,000 people. It's the vanguard. They go out. He says, delay Imam Hussein. Make sure he does not reach Kufa until we have prepared an army enough to kill him. The question here, and I am truly humble and thankful to Sayyid Ammar Naqshbandi, because we had a debate and he mentioned this point. Actually, not, it wasn't a debate. We were just having a circle amongst brothers. And he mentioned this point to me. He said, if you are somebody who is in charge or somebody who is ruling, a religion which has spread over Egypt and Syria and parts of Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia, you have all this kingdom under your control, why do you want to send 40,000 people to kill 72 men? Not even 72, your main target is only the one of them. What is this individual? Who is this individual who is threatening your position? Why didn't they just send that 1,000 people and say, kill Imam Hussein? Why did they say, wait until we have gathered the army strong enough? Why? Because they know he's the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, number one. Number two, they know that so long as he's around, their position of power is under threat by the people, because the people any day will turn around and see the falsehood in them. And then they will see Abu Abdullah Hussein and they will see the truth. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And think they, with their words or with their plotting, conceal the nur of Allah? Nay, the nur of Allah shall never be concealed. A poet says, and they thought that with their swords they killed Hussein, walakin Hussein with his blood defeated their swords. Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when he was shaheed in Karbala, and his family were taken to Sham, a man comes to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam Allah, and he says, who was victorious? He's trying to mock Imam Sajjad alayhi salam Allah. He says, who is victorious? Imam Sajjad, at this point, the adhan was being recited. He said, listen to the mu'adhin and then surely you will know whether my father was victorious or Yazid was victorious. What did the mu'adhin say? Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallallahu ala Muhammadin. He said, so long as Rasulullah's name is mentioned with Allah's name in the adhan 5 times a day, then know that my father was victorious. Because this is what we fought for. We fought for Islam to continue. And Islam begins with Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It's completed, of course, with Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. But the very essence, the very beginning is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, why were they sending 1,000 people to hold him, and not any 1,000? They were all veterans of war. And then they were waiting to get an army which was greater than 1,000. They were waiting for the 10s and the 20s and the 30,000s. Why? Number one, they know that this is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. Number two, I will mention this more in detail, is they know amongst the army of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, or amongst the 72, is Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam Allah. And who was Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam Allah? Tomorrow I will mention what the army of Yazid thought about Abbas alayhi salam Allah. Because tomorrow is the night of Sayyidina wa Mawlana Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam Allah, beloved of Sakina alayhi salam Allah. So they know that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah is there, and they know that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is there. They know Qasim ibn al-Hasan is there. They know Ali Akbar is there, alayhum salamullah. They know, and they know that amongst them are the most brave of the Hashim family. They also know Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah's companions are the most bravest of companions. Why? Because they fear nobody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they know that Banu Hashim alayhi salamullah have never ever been known as cowards. No matter what the odds against them, from the youngest child, from Ali Asghar alayhi salamullah, who when Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah was calling out, Alam al-Nasr yansuruna, Ali Asghar kept on moving in his cradle until he fell to the floor. So his mother knew that he was calling to Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, saying, Father Ya Hussein, I will come and help you. Meaning, I will die shaheed also to show the world that these people that you were fighting were so merciless and heartless that even a 6-month-old child, infant, was not saved from them. So he came to the Nusra of his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. From the child, to the father, to the son, to the uncle, to the brother, to the nephew, to the niece, to the sister Zainab alayhi salamullah, who stood from Sham to Kufa, in every single market where people were throwing stones and rotten fruits at them and rotten vegetables, she stood there holding her head high, just like her mother Fatima Zahra alayhi salamullah. And she defeated all the odds. In the ziyara, what do we say? Peace be upon the broken-hearted sister, who even though she was outnumbered by her enemies, still came out victorious in her speeches. Zainab alayhi salamullah, sister of Abu Fadl al-Abbas, sister of Imam Hussein and Hassan alayhi salamullah, daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima al-Zahra, raised in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they knew that this was the army, this was the team that Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah is bringing with him, they wanted to make sure that every single one of them was annihilated, so there is no chance of failure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again we come back to the verse where he says, he will protect his nur. So now Hur alayhi salamullah, at this point he was leading the 1,000. He comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. And he tells him, I have nothing to do with this war. I am only somebody who is obeying the orders of a higher authority. And I don't want to stand on the day of judgment before Rasulullah and his daughter Fatima Zahra alayhi salamullah with your blood on my hand. So all I will say is, I am told to come here to hold you until they decide what they will do with you. Then in the end of the story, because time is running out, in the end of the story, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah's route was diverted towards Karbala. Hur alayhi salamullah, as we mentioned before, then realizes what's happening, that really they do intend on fighting Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. So then Hur alayhi salamullah comes and offers his life for Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. However, I want to mention one point here, is all of this was happening when Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah was going towards Karbala. He asked Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salamullah a question. He said, Al-Qasim, how do you see death? He said, in you, O uncle, brother mashallah knows the words, you are sweeter than honey. Death is sweeter than honey to me. What's the comparison here? Let's have a look at the comparison. Ibrahim, and I know Sayyid Ammar Nakhshawani has mentioned this in his lectures, so some of you might be familiar with the story. Ibrahim alayhi salamullah, when he says to his son, O son, I see in my dream that I will sacrifice you, what will you make of this? He said, do as you have been commanded, and surely you will find me from the patient ones. Now, patience here is what? If something is hard to bear, then we say we will be patient. However, if something is easy, you don't need to be patient about it. Because why? There's no need for patience. Patience comes when? In trials and tribulations. Like, what does Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salamullah say? He says, it is sweeter than honey. Meaning what? Death for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah is not a trial. Death for Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah is an honor. So here Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salamullah is making the point what? Death for Imam Hussein alayhi salam was an honor, and not any honor. It is the greatest honor. Why? Let me show you Qasim ibn Hassan alayhi salam. I know there is no comparison with any other people between the Ahlul Bayt. But one man came with the army of Umar ibn Sa'd alayhi lanatullah. When he came and he reached Karbala, he remembered something which he forgot. So he came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he said, I remembered something I heard about 20, 30 years ago. And I only remembered it when I saw Karbala. He said, what is this thing that you remembered? He said, I remembered we was with Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And we was going past Karbala. It was one of the battles and we was going past Karbala. And next to a tree, this is the tree where they cut it down now, but that tree was the thing where people knew where Imam Hussein alayhi salam's grave was. So that's where Imam Hussein was buried. He bowed down at that tree. Next to a tree, he done a sajda. And he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we asked him, we said, Ya Mawla, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, why the sajda? What is this salah for? He said, I swear I heard Rasulullah say that in this land, there will be a group of people who will die, that they will enter heaven bila hisab. There is no judgment. As soon as they die, Allah says to the angels, take them to Jannah. Straight to heaven. Meaning what? With Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, forget your past. This now or never. This is the moment. Make your side. Are you with or are you without? What does this man say? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah says to him, so you know that the people that will die here, obviously not everybody, meaning Imam Hussein's party, that they will go to Jannah without any hisab? He says, yes. He said, so are you with us or against us? Look at the shaitan in this man. Heaven is before his eyes. What does he say? He says, I am neither with you nor against you. I have a family and I'm going to return to it. The audacity here is like what? Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah doesn't have a family. Like Zainab alayhi salamullah is not a family of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. I tell you one thing Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah gave to us. Every man here, and we all know the shame we have for our sisters, I can guarantee you for any cause you are willing to give your life, but is anybody willing to give their sister? Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah gave his sister for Islam. Zainab alayhi salam Allah, I pray, tell me, what need was her for her to go to Sham? She was sitting in her house. Imam Hussein did not even ask her to come with him. She went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. She said, Akhi ya Aba Abdullah, do I have your permission to come with you to Karbala? He says, you have a husband, ask him. She goes to her husband. Listen to this, when Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah married his daughter to her husband, what did he say? What was the only condition? He said, if she ever asks you to go to Karbala, you never say no to her. You let her go. And her husband obviously told her, yes, you can go. She gave herself, she gave her life, she gave her honor and respect. A woman who until Karbala, no one has seen her. No one ever pointed in any direction and said, that's Zainab, the daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because she was, who was she? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, what does he call her? He says, Aqilat Banu Hashim. She is the honor of Banu Hashim. She is the honor of Ahlul Bayt. Walakin Zainab alayhi salam Allah journeys where? To Karbala, and from Karbala she goes to Kufa, from Kufa to Sham. Why? For us. Which one of us is willing to give that sacrifice? Yet you find some ignorant person who doesn't know what's right and what's wrong in Islam comes and says what? He says, I was going past Sham. And Alhamdulillah, I didn't visit Zainab. One of the scholars in Saudi Arabia. He says, yeah, I was standing outside the haram of Zainab alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah, I didn't visit Zainab. The point here, Zainab alayhi salam didn't even want you. You lost out. She didn't lose nothing. Jannah is at her feet. So now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah made the ultimate sacrifice. And this ultimate sacrifice meant what? Meant not only did he give his life, as some would say. He gave his family, he gave his daughter, he gave his sister, he gave and he gave and he gave. And Zainab alayhi salam Allah also gave, because Zainab was the one who had to witness, the one who she opened her eyes. There are some hadiths which say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, only when he picked up Zainab did she open her eyes. So the very first thing she saw in the dunya was the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. She grew up in the cradle, in the arms of Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. In the end, she was the one who had to witness everything which was done to Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. That's who he gave. And Zainab alayhi salam Allah, after giving Imam Hussein, what does she say? She comes to the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. She picks up the body which is cut to pieces. She says, "Oh my Allah, take from us. Here is our qurban. And if you are still not satisfied, take until you are satisfied." This is the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. So that's why when Imam al-Zaman ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the ziyarah that we read, he says, "I shed not any tears but red tears for you." When we say to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, it is haqq, it is truth, it is our wajib not to shed any tears but red tears for the sacrifice which you offered. Because great was the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. So now we see Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah returning to the point. He has reached Karbala. He has asked Qasim alayhi salam Allah, "How do you see death?" He has asked Ali Akbar alayhi salam Allah, "How do you see death?" What does Ali Akbar reply? He says, "Awalaysa nahnu ala al-haq? Are we not on truth?" He says to him, "Yes." He says, "Then what have we to fear? Death is nothing but an honor for us." Now these people were willing to give their life for Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Some people think Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, it was easy for him to watch them go. La wallah, biyabi wa ummi Aba Abdullah Hussein. How hard was it for you to say goodbye to every one of them? Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salam Allah. The riwayat say, لَمْ يَبْلُقُ الْحُلْمُ, which means what in the English term? He hasn't reached the age of puberty. Meaning what? If anything, he was 12, 13. Maximum 14. He hasn't even reached 15. So Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salam Allah comes to Imam Hussein. He says, "Uncle Hussein, it's difficult for me to see you in this state. So many are your enemies and so little are your companions, Ya Aba Abdullah. Give me permission to fight for you, Sayyidi wa Mawlai. Allow me to die for you." Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah says, "Oh Qasim, you was the last thing that was trusted to me by my brother Hassan. Every time I want to remember Hassan alayhi salam Allah, I look at you. I cannot let you go, oh Qasim." Qasim alayhi salam Allah goes back to his mother. He says, "Mother, my uncle won't allow me to fight." So his mother goes and she opens what? She has a little box. In it are the belongings of Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah. His turban, his armor and his sword. And with it were two letters. One is a letter to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. The other is to Qasim alayhi salam Allah. In the letter, Imam Qasim alayhi salam Allah reads it. His father, Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah, says, "Oh my son Qasim, when you see your uncle Hussein in Karbala without no one to aid him, make your father proud, my darling son." Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah reads the letter, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. From your brother Hussein alayhi salam Allah, from your brother Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah, even though time has put us distance between us, and even though time has forbidden me from being with you in Karbala, I give you my son al-Qasim alayhi salam Allah." Imam Qasim alayhi salam Allah, Imam Hussein hugs him. Some versions of the riwayat, some traditions say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was so difficult for him to say goodbye to Qasim that they hugged until they both passed away. Until they both knocked out unconscious. They were crying so much. Then when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah and Qasim regained conscience, Qasim alayhi salam Allah gets on his horse. He goes towards the army. He says, "Ana Qasim ibn al-Hasan, intin kuruni. If you deny me, I am the son of Hassan, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is Hussein in Karbala alone. I will fight and defend him. He begins to strike them one by one until his shoe broke. Now, in the traditions of the Arabs, when your shoe breaks, if you are a warrior, you would fix your shoe. Meaning what? You're not afraid of those people who are in front of you. Al-Qasim alayhi salam Allah is only 13 and he's showing the virtues of a warrior. When his shoe broke, he went down to fix it. One of the la'in said, I swear I will make his uncle's heart broken. I will make his mother weep for him. They said, what will you do? He said, watch what I will make of him. He runs towards Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salam Allah, picks up his sword, raises it high, hits Qasim on the head. Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan falls. Now every one of the shaheeds who fell, they said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, except Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan. He said, Uncle Hussein, come save me. Why? Because when Al-Qasim fell, the horses began to trample over his body. They began to cut him to pieces. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, they say, he came like a hawk comes towards his prey. He came speeding, moved everybody away from Al-Qasim alayhi salam Allah. Then he sits next to Al-Qasim alayhi salam Allah. Now I want you to imagine an uncle, the last time he sees the son of his brother, and how does he see him? Instead of mendi on his hand, there is red blood. Instead of mendi on his hair, there is red blood. Instead of garments, there's blood. He sees Qasim cut to pieces, the rib is broken, the arms are broken. He calls to him, oh my son Qasim, it breaks your uncle's heart that you should call him and he cannot help you. Or he hears you and he cannot aid you. Oh Qasim, what is the state of your uncle Aba Abdullah? Great are my enemies and weak is my numbers. He calls to the Hashimin, he says, come pick up Al-Qasim. They pick up Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan. Now when Imam Hussein was picking up Al-Qasim, I want you to imagine this state. Al-Qasim is a young child. So why were his feet dragging on the floor when Imam Hussein was carrying him? That's because Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah's back was broken. He couldn't stand up straight after the tragedy of Qasim alayhi salam Allah. Walakin, they bring Al-Qasim to Zainab alayhi salam Allah. What did Zainab say to Imam Hussein? She said, Ya Hussein, leave us for a moment. The mother of Qasim wants to bid him farewell. What does she say to him? Oh my Qasim, how I dreamt to see you a young groom. Oh my Qasim, like every mother, I stayed up every night, hoping for the day to come to see your wedding day. Oh Qasim, then I came to Karbala, and what did I find in Karbala? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Shortly after the massacres, Sukaina, the son of Imam Hussein, carries on with her auntie and asks her questions. A little conversation between the two. What was said? They were severed in Karbala, while the tyrants cheered and stole the spoils of war. Imam Zain al-Abidin, there were men no more. Apart from Zain al-Abidin, the children cried like never before, and Sakina cries to her auntie Zainab, where did my father go? Oh auntie Zainab, it is time for Maghrib prayer. Where is my dear father? Is there something we have done to deserve this cruelty from everyone? Oh Auntie Zainab, they have severed my Akbar's body, severed my Akbar's body when he was the closest image to my grandfather Rasulullah. Oh Amma Zainab, they butchered my cousin Qasim instead of gathering his wedding. Oh Amma Zainab, they fatalized my uncle Abbas. He was the one to hold our flag and hold our heads high, but he lay decapitated with no hands to even protect his face from the fall to the ground. Oh, Amma Zainab, his body was not brought back by my father, because he promised that he will only come back with a full water bag. They didn't stop there, Amma Zainab. They did not stop there. They had not done enough. After slaughtering all my father's companions and all the men of our camp, all the fathers of these orphans, the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Islam, they plunged a 3-point arrow through the throat of Abdullah al-Radi', my little infant brother. Oh, why, oh, Amma Zainab, instead of sleeping in his cot, he was sleeping in his grave, gruesomely shot. At just 6 months old, what was the sin, for he was killed. They brutalized my father Hussein, they threw at him rocks, they fired at him arrows. They poked in him spears, they made sure that his bed was drenched with his own blood, and as he fell, Shimon La'anahu Allah sits on my father's chest, poking his dagger repeatedly into my father with his own blood. Finally, he puts his blunt dagger on the neck of my father. Please, people, we are going to carry on with an oha from Brother Dhulfiqar.
Could all the brothers stand up, please? Martin Hussein,
Sham vich pul jane leke ابي مار گیا دیکھ کے بھیڑ بازاری نو کیویں روندا رہیا روے نا خون دے تو روے نا خون دے تو انج سالار کوئی روے نا خون سالا بیمار کوئی روے نا خون سالا بیمار کوئی کوئی مزدور کر دے شالا نہ پاوے کریاں ہووے سجاد ہووے ویکھ دربار دے وچ بہنا دے پپیاں کھڑیاں ہووے سجاد دیواں بوں ہووے سجاد دیواں بوں نہ بے قرار کوئی شالا بیمار کوئی تیرا خورشید کرے مالا رو رو کے دعا کم کسے نو نہ ملے کوئی تیرے غم دے سوا روے غم تیرے دے باجو روے غم تیرے دے باجو نازادار کوئی روے نہ دو سالا بیمار کوئی روے نہ دو شالا بیمار کوئی ننگے سر ویکھ نہ پپیاں ننگے سر ویکھ نہ پپیاں در بازار